Hello and welcome to this week's podcast from journalism.co.uk, where we'll be discussing the importance of press freedom and what should be done to help those journalists wrongfully imprisoned around the world, whilst hearing about the campaign that went viral to release three Al Jazeera reporters in Egypt. It's now been 65 days since journalist Mohamed Razoul was detained in Turkey on allegations of assisting a terrorist organisation whilst reporting for Vice News. Razoul was arrested with two Vice News journalists, Jake Hanrahan and Philip Pendlebury, who have now been released. As part of its campaign to call on the Turkish government to release Razoul, Vice blacked out all of its digital and social channels worldwide for 2 hours last week. Alex Miller, Global Head of Content at Vice, notes that the move helped to raise awareness of the journalist situation and how the imprisonment of journalists could affect the freedom of the press.
Vice has an enormous international digital footprint, and once we galvanize that power, we can set the global agenda. We blacked out because that represents what society would be without the free press. There would be no light in the darkness. And currently, Razoul is living inside that world of darkness. If we allow governments to lock people like Razoul up, it's not just the journalists who are going to prison, it's all of civilized society.
The media blackout gained a huge amount of support for the cause and led to journalists worldwide signing the news organization's petition calling for Razoul's release, which has so far gained over 40,000 supporters.
Journalists from across the world were joining in and showing their support, and we ended up trending in the US, in the UK, in Canada, and most importantly, both Free Razoul and Vice News were trending in Turkey itself. And watching social media closely, you could tell that there were many voices inside Turkey who deeply, obviously, agreed with us. And I think that there's a lot of people inside that country who are worried with the direction that the Erdogan government is moving in.
Miller notes that Vice will continue to put pressure on Turkish authorities whilst their reporter is imprisoned, not only to fight for Razoul's release, but to also help fight suppression of the press in the region.
Certainly, we're not going to be giving up our campaign until Razoul is freed. The blackout was merely the start. We may be making him our poster child for imprisoned journalists, but this is something that affects every single one of us. And we all know people and have colleagues who operate in difficult countries and in difficult situations. And if we don't make a stink about it, who's going to?
In December 2013, three Al Jazeera journalists, Peter Greist, Mohamed Fahmy and Bahia Mohamed, were arrested in Egypt, accused of supporting terrorist organisation the Muslim Brotherhood. Australian journalist Peter Greist spent 400 days in a Cairo prison before his eventual release in February this year. His two colleagues, Fahmy and Mohamed, were pardoned by the Egyptian president last month. Greist, now still working as a journalist for Al Jazeera, explains how the trio came to be arrested.
I was only in Egypt just for a couple of weeks, covering the bureau over the Christmas New Year period. I was literally just treading water, trying to keep the coverage going while they were a bit light on for staff over that period. My job wasn't to do anything particularly radical. I wasn't doing any kind of serious investigative reporting. We weren't looking into government corruption. We weren't trying to push boundaries of any sort. And to my mind, what we were doing was pretty pedestrian reporting. The government at the time was organizing elections between the fall of the Muslim Brotherhood government, which collapsed in the middle of 2013, and elections which took place in 2014. Those were the elections, of course, elected President Sisi. And there'd been quite a few significant changes to legislation. There'd been a new constitution, and all of those obviously had an impact on the Muslim Brotherhood, which at the time had been accused of acts of terrorism but hadn't been formally banned. So we did what any responsible journalist would do, and that's talk to the opposition, which was the Muslim Brotherhood. And it seems that that act alone was the thing that got us in trouble with the authorities.
Greist was sentenced to 7 years in prison. He notes that the lengthy sentences that him and his colleagues received was a complete shock to them, believing that the absence of evidence presented against them would demonstrate their innocence.
No stage from the moment we arrested did we realistically believe that we were going to be convicted. Initially, I thought it was just a mistake that would be cleared up in a matter of hours. Perhaps we'd end up spending a night or two in the cells, but we didn't think that it was going to be a long-running problem. We hadn't done anything wrong. There was no evidence of any wrongdoing. And so we thought perhaps there'd been some kind of mistake, or they just wanted to call us in to rattle a few cages. And once we'd been appropriately rattled, then they'd either let us go or, at the very worst, deport me. And then when the trial started, we thought, well, okay, they need to be seen to be acting on these allegations. They need to be seen to be following due process. But of course, in the complete absence of evidence, and anyone who saw the trial recognized that there was absolutely no evidence. It was embarrassing, the lack of evidence that was presented. We just assumed that they would have to acquit us to save face, to save any public embarrassment. Well, as it turns out, that wasn't the case. And so I was absolutely devastated. We were all really shocked when that sentence, when the conviction and sentence was handed down. We kind of again guessed that at the very worst, perhaps what would happen would be that we'd be convicted and sentenced to time served, or perhaps time served plus, you know, a week or two, maybe a month. But to be imprisoned for 7 years was absolutely devastating for us. We really didn't see that coming at all. Perhaps that might seem a little bit naive now in retrospect, but at the time, as I said, we knew we hadn't done anything wrong, and we were pretty convinced that would be the harshest verdict that they could have handed down.
On the outside, the web campaign to free the journalists went viral, with journalists and activists from around the world taking to social media to call on the authorities in Egypt to release the three men. The arrest and imprisonment was criticised by human rights organisations, interstate bodies and governments around the world.
It was enormously encouraging for us. We didn't really know just how big the campaign was, I hasten to add. We knew that there was that campaign, of course, but we really didn't understand the full extent of the campaign, not just amongst our colleagues, but also amongst the public and amongst the politicians and diplomats at just about every level. But even the little that we did know was enormously empowering. We got snippets of information through all sorts of channels. And if we ever felt alone, if we ever felt abandoned, we just needed to conjure up an image of all of those people who had been holding selfies, posting selfies or signing petitions or writing to us. And pretty soon the cell would be packed with imaginary friends, and it weren't that imaginary. It was extraordinary. And it gave us a sense of purpose. It gave us a sense of a meaningfulness to what we were going through that wouldn't otherwise have been there.
The situation, which had global attention, highlighted the importance of press freedom for democracy and its role in society as the fourth estate.
I've always believed in press freedom, but I guess, like a lot of people, I took it largely for granted. What this whole experience has done is made me appreciate, first of all, just how important it really is. And secondly, it's made me much more determined to fight to defend it. One of the things I think we tend to forget generally, not just as journalists, but as a community, is how important press freedom is to the way that democracies work. Remember, the press is called the fourth estate, and that's because it's seen as an equal partner alongside the other three pillars of state, the executive, the judiciary, and the legislature. And if you weaken any one of those legs, then the whole structure becomes creaky, and you run the risk of destabilizing the very fundamental things about that make democracy work. Our job as the press is to monitor, to interrogate, to act as a watchdog of governments on behalf of the people who elect governments. We are supposed to keep track of what governments do. We're supposed to keep them honest. We're not supposed to be friends of governments. And if you increasingly create dark spaces in which the journalists are not allowed to operate in, then I think we undermine that ability to keep track of what governments do in our names. I'm not suggesting for a second that national security isn't a serious problem. Of course it is, and there's absolutely no doubt that governments and security services need to keep information secret. They need to keep certain things confidential. That's always been a part of the contract. What we've seen over the years is an increasing use of national security to justify creating increasingly dark places and limiting what journalists can and can't do. And I think when we do that, we run the risk of actually making it easier for governments to get away with things without the press oversight. And I don't think that's necessarily healthy. Obviously, it's hard to give a blanket call to release every single journalist in prison, because clearly there are some that overstep those marks. There are some journalists that have done things that do genuinely threaten national security. And so I can't say here and now that every journalist or everyone who claims to be a journalist needs to be released. That's not it at all. But I think we need to be a lot more careful than we have been about how we legislate around these issues, and make sure that we do defend journalists who were doing legitimate work. We need to err on the side of the press rather than on the side of the government. We need to err on the side of freedom of speech and the freedom of the press rather than on the side of governments, because if you limit the work of journalists, if you start to intimidate journalists, if you make journalists more cautious about the areas that they tend to go to, then I think we lose something quite fundamental about the way that democracy works.
Thankfully, Greece, Fahmy and Mohammed continue to battle for their beliefs behind bars and work to fight towards reform in jail, even living under appalling conditions. The Canadian journalist Mohammed Fahmy, former Al Jazeera bureau chief, explains how they use their time in prison to learn more about the mentality of the terrorists they were imprisoned with.
The hardest thing in the world is to be a journalist or a prisoner in prison and knowing you're innocent. And being in the terrorism wing with Al-Qaeda fighters and extremists and ISIS sympathizers and ISIS fighters who just came from Syria and Libya to fight in Egypt was extremely hard for us in prison. But we made the best of it by trying to do what we do best. And we interviewed them and we tried to understand their mentality. And we had this radio show inside the prison, a mock radio show that we created, me, Baher, and Peter. And we were continuously trying to make use of our time and interview them exactly the way you do in a show and find information that it would be hard to get outside. And, you know, these people have no respect for humanity or journalism or democracy. But, of course, being behind bars left us with lots of time to better understand them. And I think every journalist in the world knows very well that we get into this business knowing there's a lot of risk involved. And if you're in this business, you know that, you know, that passion for truth and is what we live for. So that's exactly what we did behind bars.
Whilst he was in prison, Fahmy set up the Fahmy Foundation, a non-profit NGO to champion free speech and fight the suppression of the press, a move inspired by the unprecedented global support he received whilst in prison. The foundation aims to advocate and provide financial assistance for reporters and photographers unjustly imprisoned worldwide.
Just recently, we donated $3,000 to Wupshit Taiyi. He's an Ethiopian journalist that is now he's been in prison for 4 years, sentenced to 10 years for a bogus terrorism charge. It's very similar to mine. We're advocating for Jason Rezaian, who's in Iran serving time for another bogus terrorism case or espionage case. And Raif Badawi, we're supporting him and fighting hard for him. I just spoke in a writer's festival in Vancouver about this man who only criticized religious clerics in Islam, and he's gotten 1,000 flogs and 10 years, and he's been already flogged 50 times. There's news that he will be flogged again, which is very disturbing. His wife just explained this to me over the phone. We're also advocating for Shalkan. You know, he's an Egyptian photographer, freelance photographer. He spent 2 years in prison with no charges, and now he's being referred to court in December, and the man is not guilty of anything. He was arrested with two Westerners. They were released, and he wasn't. Mohammed Al-Ajmi is somebody we're also fighting for. He's a Qatari poet serving 15 years behind bars for one poem, and he's allegedly for criticizing the Qatari emir. I'm in contact with his lawyer, and it's a pretty tough situation for him as well. And finally, Mohammed Ismail Rasool. He is a fixer, producer. He was caught with a vice crew in Turkey, and again, he is accused of bogus terrorism charges. So the trend is very obvious here that this has become a very disturbing trend, and I don't think the press has suffered the way that is now happening on the ground. So it's not acceptable, and I think all journalists should unify behind this cause, and there should be new charges written to better protect journalists and from prosecution. There should be one hand and one support behind this unacceptable clampdown on what we do as journalists.
Fahmy hopes that lessons will be learnt from his experience and is currently working on a charter to present to the Canadian government that includes recommendations for better protection of the country's journalists and citizens whilst abroad, and is working on a charter for press freedom to be submitted to the UN.
you don't go through an experience like this without being a changed man. And that's what happened to me now. Of course, I got into journalism to make a change and support causes and, you know, just seek the truth. And this experience even made me more passionate about journalism, because I realized that being on the other side of the microphone, that all you guys were fighting for us outside, and that's what empowered me behind bars. So if I ever believed in journalism, now I am 10 times more dedicated to this honorable cause. And I do believe that journalists who are behind bars get this sort of resilience, and they continue to respect what they do. And it's very hard to just shut somebody down and expect them to take a U-turn on what he believed in the first place. So I think that the battle continues. A true society with true free speech may not exist anywhere in the world, but we got to continue to fight toward reform, even though if it's a slow path, but these mini victories on the way do count for something. And our battle has to continue, and we have to keep challenging governments and take on that watchdog approach, because that's why we exist as journalists.
For more podcasts from journalism.co.uk, please visit our website.
Well, right now I'm very excited about my new job at the University of British Columbia. I am lecturing in different departments and the journalism department about my experience and about the so-called war on terror in the Middle East and how it's used as an excuse to clamp down on civil liberties, and just putting a lot of the issues in the Middle East in context for a lot of the students here, especially the journalism students. And I am very excited to continue working on my foundation as well, but I'm also working on a charter, and this charter, I'm presenting it to the government here in Ottawa, the new government, that includes ideas and recommendations for better protection of Canadian citizens and prisoners in Egypt and other countries, so that lessons could be learned from what happened to us. And I do believe that my colleagues should be also pardoned, because I have been pardoned and I face the same accusations and the same so-called evidence. And I'm also working with others here on a charter for press freedoms that we are submitting to the UN very soon. And we hope that the whole world understands that unless we get unified as journalists and media personalities and people who want to continue to express their ideas freely, we will not be able to continue working our job and reporting freely and safely unless we unify. That's for sure.